It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Oh, hello, and welcome to the Midwest Madness Podcast, recording today on Tuesday, February 7th. We are 1 week away from Valentine's Day. This is your reminder to go get your gifts, and if you don't have a date, find a date or just have the day to yourself. Do whatever you want. We have a loaded episode here of the Midwest Madness Podcast talking all things Big 12 hoops, and I, of course, am your host, Robbie Triano. Yesterday was a big, big, big win for the Kansas Jayhawks over the Texas Longhorns. We're going to go over that. We're going to talk about what the hell this league is currently doing right now, because does anyone want to win this conference at all? Anybody? Crickets? Anybody? Okay, we'll discuss that as well. We're going to look at the bubble watch, see how many teams we can in fact get into March Madness. Loaded episode. But first, I want to start with some homekeeping news, because we have some exciting things happening on the Midwest Madness Twitter page this week. And if you haven't followed that, go do so at MW underscore Madness Big 12. And we are doing something that I have always wanted to do. I work in media. I work for SiriusXM, if you don't know. And I've always wanted to do this idea to find out who has the best home court advantage in college basketball everywhere. We had an idea. I had an idea to do 68 fan bases, but it would have upset too many people. I didn't want to leave anybody off. It was too much of a project. So I delayed the idea. And then this year, I think the Big 12 has proved how damn important home court advantage is in this league. And we look at it. Texas, 13-1 at home. Iowa State, the only undefeated team at home, 12-0. Kansas, 12-1. TCU, 11-2. Kansas State, 12-1. Baylor, 11-2. Oklahoma State is 14-9. Only two of those losses are at home. West Virginia, 3 losses at home. This league has maybe the best home court advantage in the entire country. So I thought, I know that everyone loves the fog. Everybody thinks the fog is the best. But now we have a chance to actually have the fans prove who has the best home court advantage in the whole Big 12. I'll be running a poll all week, and I made a bracket. Yes, a bracket challenge to determine who has the best home court advantage of the entire league. This is how I seeded it. And a lot of people in my mentions definitely mad about one school here that I ranked. But I tried my best to go, you know, I've never been to any of these places. So that is my disclaimer. But I have been covering the league for 4 years. I have been talking Big 12 hoops for a bit. I kind of get a good pulse of what the league is. If I'm wrong, prove me wrong in the votes. A lot of people are like, you idiot, why'd you put them there? Well, then vote for them. Okay, vote for them. So here's how I did the home court advantage bracket. First place, I put the first seed, put Allen Fieldhouse. Is anyone going to disagree with me? Anybody? No? Okay, cool. They're probably going to win, but we'll see how the fans vote. 2, Hilton Coliseum, which is obviously an incredible place, but this year, I have an argument to be made that they have been better than Allen Fieldhouse. Just on Saturday, when the fans were camping in -2 degrees to go see them play and get tickets to see Iowa State play Kansas, and they won, those fans have been incredible. What they did to Tyrese Hunter earlier this year has been incredible, and they're also 12-0. Like, they're a bad away team. All 5 of their losses are on the road, none at home. I love watching I love watching Iowa State play in Hilton Coliseum. It's been really tough. They're my two seed. Number three, Bramlage Coliseum, the Octagon of Doom. I don't have to explain much. I think that is a clear number three. I think when we saw Jerome Tang on the scorers table, you can see how important that home court advantage is. Number four, and this got some pushback as well, going with Texas Tech United Supermarkets Arena, just because I think in the past couple of years, it has truly emerged as one of the hardest places to play in all of college basketball. When they do the swag surf, I don't think I've seen something like that before. The Texas Tech has an awesome home court environment. I may be doing some recency bias here, but I don't care. Number five, Gallagher-Iber Arena. I've been told for Oklahoma State that this is a cathedral of college basketball. It used to be much better, but they've been doing well at home this year. Oklahoma State has been a really good home team, currently 10-2, and it seems like that place is rocking yet again, and it should be, because I'm going to talk about Oklahoma State later. But they're a damn good basketball team. Sorry, Mike Boyne, you play basketball, not football. Mike Gundy does the football side of things. That's a whole different story. Number six, it's got some pushback as well, but I don't think based on what I've seen this year, I should be in the wrong for it. Number six, I put the Moody Center for Texas. That place has been incredible. I've talked to people who have been in there. They said it's unlike any arena they've seen in college and maybe even could be a pro type of arena. It is so loud. I've had, you know, one of the people I work with, Chris Budden, you may know her. She's on the sidelines for all of the games doing the reporting. She said that one day it was so loud in there, she almost went deaf. She said she couldn't hear. Her ears were ringing for about 24 hours afterwards. Yeah, the Moody Center can do that. It's been an incredible environment. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And also, their team has been incredible at home. 13-1 this year, and they're really good. And the fans are actually starting to realize, oh, we can care about this. It's not the Irwin Center. We can actually care about basketball here. Moody Center is number six. This got me the most pushback, and maybe it's just because since I've been covering the league, this team has not been very good, and I have not, like, there's so many good home court advantages. Someone is going to get, like, a bad draw or whatever. Number seven, I put West Virginia. And a lot of people were mad. A lot of people said I'm an idiot. A lot of people said, you've never been there. You're right, I haven't. I also haven't been to the other 10. But this is the one where I think it's going to be a dark horse. If there were betting odds in this bracket, you should bet on West Virginia. And this year, pretty damn good at home. 10-3. That's good. West Virginia is also starting to get things together. Eric Stevenson, I think, is still on fire. I think the fire department is still trying to look after him. Number eight, I put the Farrell Center for Baylor. There's a reason they're getting a new arena. There's a reason. The fans don't care as much about it unless they start getting good. It's not as great of an environment. I put them at number eight. Number nine, I put TCU in their weird-ass court. And number 10, I put Lloyd Noble. It's really bad. A lot of Oklahoma fans don't even care that I put them there, and that's okay. Right now, they're also 7-5 at home. They have the same amount of away losses as home losses. Also, Oklahoma, bad. Bad basketball team right now. So those were the seeds I have, and this will be the matchup. So we had the first round play on Monday, February 6th. If you're listening to this, West Virginia beat Oklahoma, and we had Baylor beat TCU, which sets up the quarterfinals for today. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, February 7th, today is the day to vote for your team. We have Kansas taking on Baylor. We have Texas Tech taking on Oklahoma State, Iowa State taking on West Virginia, and we have Kansas State taking on Texas and the Moody Center. After that, the next day, so voting will be for 24 hours. Voting will start at 12 Central every day. So after these 24 hours on Tuesday, on Wednesday, February 8th, we have the semifinals. 24 hours after that, on Thursday, February 9th, we start the championship. And on Friday, a champion will be crowned. Go there, support it. Vote. I want this thing to blow up. I want to get all the fan base involved, and I want to grow this podcast mostly. Okay, for the thing you guys actually cared about, let's talk about some Big 12 hoops. And I want to start with the game yesterday. with Texas taking on Kansas. Kansas won 88-80, and this is a performance I did not see coming from Kansas, and I don't even think Bill Self saw this coming. I don't even think Jalen Wilson saw it coming. When Jalen Wilson only scores 2 points, yes, the leading scorer in the whole league, the leading rebounder, the best player in the entire league against, in my opinion right now, playing like the best team in the entire Big 12. The Texas Longhorns have been absolutely rolling. They're still sit on top of the Big 12 standings still. And they go into the fog, and I really thought Texas had a good shot of winning. And if you hold Jalen Wilson to 2 points, you should be winning these games. However, Kansas had their most balanced game of the entire year. They went to the hole, and they found out, hey, if we're scoring inside, we're going to win. And CJ Moore, if you're not following him or reading his stuff on The Athletic, you're a dunce. He wrote an amazing story called Kansas Jayhawks Pass Math Test by Scoring in the Paint Against Texas. And they were talking to Patrick Stacey, who was their scouting service guy at Kansas, and he gave Bill Self these stats after playing Iowa State, which was basically, you guys should be scoring in the paint all the time because you have a 55.4 scoring rate and 1.73 points per possession if you go into the paint and you score. The rest of the numbers were not very good, and this is an even greater step. Kansas has been outscored in the paint 7 times this season and lost 3 of those games. When Kansas wins the points in the paint battle, it's 14-1. And that makes so much damn sense and kind of been my critique of this team. It's not a very good shooting team. You have good shooters. You have a great shooter in Grady Dick. Jalen Wilson is emerging as this good shooter. But everybody else, and literally everybody else, that is not their role. It's not Kevin McCullough's role to shoot three-pointers. And I don't even think Kansas fans want Kevin McCullough shooting three-pointers based on what he's seen. Dwan Harris Jr., not a shooter. Don't. Like, you can, if you're open, shoot it, but that's not his thing. KJ Adams Jr., he's just not going to shoot the ball. And then on the bench, you're not getting much. Maybe Joseph Yesufu, but that's not their team. But this game was just a really good reminder that their starting lineup is excellent. When they attack the hole, they are the best. And when Dwan Harris Jr. plays the way he plays, if he plays well, it's almost a guarantee that Kansas is going to win. And I've been saying this all damn year about Dwan Harris Jr. If he can score, this team is going to win. They're just going to win. And if he plays the way he does, that opens up everything else for everybody. Everything. And if he can play the way he does defensively, because there's not a better on-ball defender than Dwan Harris Jr. Texas has a whole lot of on-ball defenders. I'll get into them. Sorry, I wanted to focus on Dwan Harris. His stat line was incredible. 17 points, 8 from 16 from the field. First of all, Dwan Harris took 16 shots. Besides Marcus Carr, he had the most shots of the whole game. That is like, thank you. Be aggressive. You can finish. Like, he can finish through contact. He is crafty with his layup. He has that Kyrie Irving layup package that you can get on 2K. He has that. 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals. He only had 3 turnovers. He took care of the ball the most. Like, if you're a point guard and your team wins and you only had 3 turnovers, like, that's good. Like, point guards are the ones who could, like, commit the most turnovers, so that's good for him. Dwan Harris Jr. needs to play to this level every game. He's playing with the confidence I want him to see before they went to that SEC Challenge stretch where they had a 3-game losing streak where I called Kansas dead. Dwan Harris is playing at the level he should be playing at, and that's really good. Kevin McCullough Jr., I don't know how he does it, but he just always is getting to the free throw line. I understand the last stretch of games, like when like Iowa State or like other teams, when Texas, they just need to foul someone at the end, it's usually Kevin McCullough getting the ball. He shoots so many damn free throws, it is kind of impressive. like against Texas, 13-3 throws. Kansas State, 12-3 throws. Against Baylor, 8. Like, that's where he gets majority of his points. And if he can just be that guy who can just consistently make them, good. But anything offensively, like, if he can just shoot over 50% in the game, not even from three. If you can just make one three, Kevin McCuller, well done. Grady Dick, though. Grady Dick has to be that person who makes the big shots, who has to be the person who makes the three-pointers. Because if he doesn't have that threat, everyone's just going to crowd the paint. Like, the blueprint is now out. Like, hey, we're just going to defend the paint, be physical as hell, and make you not beat us in transition at all. But Grady Dick with a great game. He made all of their two-pointers, just talking about, like, how they haven't been attacking the hole. I've never seen a Kansas team or a game this year where they only shot 10 three-pointers. They really were like, you know what, we're just going to attack this team. And that was kind of smart, because now going to the Texas side of things, Texas is really big, but they don't have a big, if you know what I mean. Like, everyone on that team, I feel like, hits the weight room for about 9 months of the year. And then they just like, oh, shoot, we have to do cardio. Because everyone there is super strong. Everyone there is super long. When it comes to getting an offensive rebound or any type of rebound, they crash so hard. They're physical. They'll bully ball you. I really, really like watching Texas play. And this game, I understand they lost, but this is a game, it's like, okay, you're on the road. You competed very well. You fought back. There was a point where I thought Texas was dead in the water. They kept fighting. They never quit. They were always hustling. They were always trying to make the right play. And Marcus Carr is just like this scoring freak. Like, towards the end of the game, it's like, okay, he's going to shoot it. Everyone in the building knows he's going to shoot it. Oh, he made it. Okay, he's going again. Oh, he made it again. Like, Marcus Carr does not have a fear of shooting the basketball. And that can be a good or a bad thing if you're a Texas fan, but mostly good. Because in that starting lineup, I don't think, besides really Timmy Allen, I don't think there's a scoring threat. Dylan Dessou is this awesome long player that I think defensively is like amazing for this league, because there are great guards in this league, but there's not many great wings. And if you can have a wing like that that can defend, you're really good. You have Dylan Mitchell, who is just an awesome freshman, and you have Tyrese Hunter, who obviously, like, we know of him. But I want to speak a little bit on Tyrese Hunter. So the Iowa State fans, you should be getting over it by this point. I shouldn't have to give that disclaimer every time. This team defensively, like, everyone is a really good on-ball defender, and that makes such a world of difference. Like, if you don't constantly have to be worried and, like, having someone help and, like, oh, then someone else is open because someone had to double team because they couldn't trust that one defender. And Tyrese Hunter, to me, is so damn good defensively. His stats do not say it. He did not have a steal against Kansas. He did not have a block. But when you see his positioning, he does such a good job at, like, just staying in front of his man. He's quick. He's agile. His lateral quickness is, like, incredible. Tyrese Hunter, I think, is having a rough season when it comes to scoring, especially in big games. And he's going to need to improve as a shooter, or just, like, honestly, take more shots. Tyrese Hunter, the second, like, guard on this team, should not be only taking 4 shots a game. But I really do like watching Tyrese play, and his play defensively is great. Timmy Allen, too. Here's the thing I notice about Timmy Allen. One, he has this just incredible motor, and he's not afraid to just, like, bark at someone. Like, him and Jalen Wilson at some point, I thought we're just going to bear wrestle fight on the court. They were really getting at each other. And Timmy Allen is just like a really physical, high energy type of guy. His eyes are always bulging. He like kind of freaks me out because he looks like he just like sniffed like 80 smelling salts like at every given moment. He's just always like on edge or always like tuned up a little bit. Also, another thing about Timmy Allen, when you watch him, tell me how many times he dribbles with his left hand. He will be coming down the court, also, like, just cool of him, that, like, if it's not Marcus Carr bringing up the ball, it's Timmy Allen, who was, like, kind of the small ball center of this team, But watch this. If you watch Timmy Allen bring the ball up the court, notice what hand he is dribbling with, and I guarantee you it's not his left. It is so funny the way he comes up the court. He is so right-handed. He is just always dribbling right, and like that's just how he moves. Instead of just like going with his left hand, he'll just turn his body and then dribble right still. It's hilarious. But I really like watching Timmy Allen play. And the way he can just bully people in the post, the way he can just like go downhill and score, I really do like him a whole lot. And then off the bench, obviously you know how I feel about this man. Sir Jabari Rice is awesome. 12 points, 5 rebounds. And they just have really good depth on this team. I really, like, coming away from this game, like, I know I've been watching Texas all year, but this is a game that's just like, oh, damn. Like, they don't necessarily have a big that is, like, huge. They don't have a player who is probably going to end up on the all-Big 12 first team unless Mike Miles doesn't return and Marcus Carr puts himself into that spot. But they really don't have a player on the first team. They're just a really damn good team. They play great defensively. They know where to be. They will bully you. They will wear you out. They do not quit. Rodney Terry has done an incredible job. And if he's not the head coach of Texas next year, something had to have gone terribly wrong. Because I think this team does have a chance, one, to win the Big 12 Conference. I don't care how you feel about Oklahoma or Texas and any of that. Texas has a chance to win the Big 12, and they're really good. And Rodney Terry is doing such a good job after what the hell happened with Chris Beard. I know this has been said a lot on every single broadcast everywhere about Texas, but Rodney Terry deserves this job. Like, he has done enough. Obviously, if he goes and he puts a stinker in the first round of the tournament, like, that's just what happens to Texas, and I think Chris Del Conte would be like, no, I want someone else. But you are seeing this team completely buy into him. No one's losing interest. In fact, I think they're trying even harder now under him. He has the command of that room. They haven't lost any recruits whatsoever. He's not this person who is going to be the darling in the media or just like do what Chris Beard did to get, you know, the fans' interest or like Jerome Tang. That's just not his role. But fans are still going to the Moody Center. Why? Because they're winning. And he's doing a good job of winning. So if I was Chris Del Conte, I think the move is kind of easy. And also, I don't think you have to just pull out all these ginormous bucks. Rodney Terry, with what they have at Texas, can win in the SEC and win big. So those are my thoughts on those two games. Kansas, they're starting to score. They're starting to do things without Jalen Wilson. Good for them. Is it sustainable? Honestly, I think it might be. I think it might be. But is it Big 12 champion good? We'll get into that in a second. But first, let's take a break. I mentioned it in the beginning of the podcast. Valentine's Day is coming up. You know you love college sports. And I'm guessing your significant other is forced to watch that college sport with you. So why not give them a gift to make them a little bit excited to wear that school's colors, uniform, whatever you want. Go to homefieldapparel.com so you can get the best t-shirts, hoodies, whatever you want, tank tops, anything representing your school. They have all designs from every single Big 12 school, including the new ones coming in. They're so damn comfortable. And if you go to Midwest12, use that as your promo code on your first order, and you get 15% off. Yes, Midwest12 for 15% off your first order. I'm trying to save you money, and I'm also trying to get you a great Valentine's Day gift. That's the reason you tune into this podcast and rate it 5 stars. All right. Now I want to talk about the league as a whole, because I've talked about it in former episodes. But there's no separation right now. And I talked about it yesterday online, but I don't think anyone wants to win this conference. Like, I just don't. Because, like, as soon as you think a team is the best, they lose. I thought Texas is the best team in the league. They go the fog and lose. I get it. You're in the fog. You're also a good team. But also, like, there isn't a team that's like, you know, we're the best. You know, we're staking our claim. We are the best. That's not the case. That's also not the case for all of college basketball. There's not like that elite Kentucky team with Anthony Davis. There's not the Baylor team from 2 years ago. There's not that team that is just so much above everybody else right now. Feels like everything is really, really, really even. Maybe it's because there's not just that like clear, you know, freshman guy. And I don't even think freshmen can really succeed in this version of college basketball where, one, everyone is eligible for about 85 years and you can just play until you're like, you know what, I think I should, you know, move on either to the NBA or start my insurance company. And also, I just think because of the transfer portal, teams are staying much older. Like, if I look at Kansas State, Keontae Johnson, if he was healthy and that thing didn't happen to him at Florida, would be gone. He would be in the NBA somewhere else if he could play when he was at Florida instead of what happened with his heart. I'm really happy he's playing again. You look at Marquise Noel. He has been everywhere. Everywhere. And he's like a fifth-year player. But they got him from the transfer portal because it's like, okay, you were good here. You had no plans of going to the NBA, but you're still really damn good right now. And we're going to take you and make you even better. Every team is super damn old. And that's why when like you see the stories of like of Grady Dick and Keontae George, it's like incredible that they're having this level of success when everyone around them is basically a grown-ass man. And that's why when you look at Texas Tech, it's like, oh, you guys are really damn young. Pop Isaacs is really young. Daniel Bacho is running out there like a newborn fawn. He doesn't know what to do with his limbs. He's way too young. That team is super young. And that's why I think this league is so damn close this year, because not only does everyone have talent, well, the top six teams most importantly have talent, but everyone is old. And that's why I think there's no separation between the six. But I'm going to do my very best to, I'm going to do this in crayon. Can you erase crayon? No, I don't think you can erase. I'm going to do this in pencil. I'll just do pencil. I'll do the easy one. What teams can I cross out and think I do not have a shot of winning the Big 12 this year? I'm going to start at the bottom. Texas Tech, no. Oklahoma, no. West Virginia, no. Oklahoma State, I'll get back to them. Baylor, they're getting Jonathan Chamochichua back. That is huge. That is an amazing story for the Baylor Bears. They have the best guard play in the entire league. They have Keontae George, who is incredible. They have Jalen Bridges, who is becoming this awesome wing player who can actually fill it up. And now you have the best defensive big in the entire league coming back. And in this league, with so few bigs that are actually big, I'll use that word in this league, he is such a massive player. And if we go to the stretch of the season, like, how can you gain an advantage on any of these teams the rest of the year? That is such an amazing thing that Scott Drew can pull out of his back pocket. Also, he shot a bleeping three-pointer and made it. Like, where is this guy coming from? It's an amazing story, and I really do like the Baylor Bears a whole lot. So I am not crossing out the Baylor Bears to win the Big 12. I think they are the most dangerous team heading to the final stretch of the season. I think they're really damn good, and they are coached by Scott Drew. So I don't have to give any more explanation for that. Baylor's really good. Kansas State, currently 6-4 in the conference, 8-5 overall. Kansas State has kind of been disappointing me the last couple of games. I think everyone else can agree. They come off of a loss against Kansas that I spoke about that I was really disappointed in them about. You lose to Texas when you were absolutely destroying them. And to me, I'm sorry to the Kansas State fans that are listening, but I am going to draw an X over your team right now. I do not think Kansas State is going to win the Big 12. They are definitely, definitely, definitely still in the mix right now. But they have some things that I'm just not as happy. I'll use that word, happy, with their team when Marquise Noel doesn't have a good game, Keontae Johnson is an absolute beast, but if he gets in foul trouble, you guys are screwed. There's some players on this team, like Desi Sills will have an amazing night and then he'll get nothing. You have Ish Masood have an amazing night and then he goes 1 for 6 from three when you need him to make a three. Like if he just made one or two more threes, they would be in it. And then there's just like other players. It's just like, I don't know what you do here. Like they're just so little production. I don't know what Cam Carter really does that much. And this team depth-wise is kind of getting a little bit, not exposed, but the rest of the league is catching up. Like Mike Boynton made a really good quote on SiriusXM Big 12 Radio. He says, no team ever stays the same in the season. You don't just stay the same level. You either get better or you get worse because the rest of the league is getting better or worse at the same time. I'm not saying Kansas State is a bad team, but I think while there's a lot of other teams soaring, Kansas State right now is just a team that I don't see sustaining the levels of success they had in the first stretch of the year. And that's okay. Like, no one saw Jerome Tang making it this far. No one saw that he was going to be this good this early. And it's not like Kansas State is a bad team. I want to reiterate that to all the Kansas State fans before they tweet at me saying I'm an idiot. I just think right now the rest of the league is kind of better talent-wise. I think they're catching up, and you've had some losses where it's just like you're just missing easy shots. Can I trust that team to win the Big 12 and against two of the best teams in the conference, one against Kansas where you could have won but you didn't, and against Texas it was that close but you were at home? I don't know if I necessarily believe that can win the conference. If there's a silver lining, something that can prove me wrong, I would say the rest of your schedule is a little bit easier. I understand it's the Big 12, so nothing is ever easy. But here's your schedule. You play TCU at home today. Then you at Texas Tech, at Oklahoma. You play the worst two teams in the conference. You are doing it on the road, but I would not consider playing the Lloyd Noble Center very difficult. And Texas Tech right now is just flat out bad. But then you go a three-game gauntlet. I would say a three-game gauntlet. Two of those games at home, though. Iowa State and Baylor at home, back-to-back games. That is, if you can win one of those, hell, if you won two of those, won both of those games, I forget what I said, you guys are really damn good. Then to close the season at Oklahoma State, who is a team that's absolutely rolling right now, and Caleb Boone, I'm going to save that. I keep on teasing Oklahoma State. But after Oklahoma State, you close the season with Oklahoma at home and at West Virginia. The schedule lays out for you well. Like, you're not playing Texas anymore. You're not playing Kansas anymore. You're like, that's good because I think those right now are the teams that I trust some of the most in the league. But yeah. I'm sorry, Kansas State. As of right now, I'm putting it in pencil. I do not think you're going to win the Big 12 Conference. TCU, 6-4 in conference play, 7-6 overall. I cannot put any faith in this team if Mike Miles is not playing or Eddie Lampkin. I know they're good, but sorry. TCU fans, pencil X. Kansas. Can Kansas win a Big 12 title? Oh, man. I knew this day had to come. I knew I did it early, but there were so many concerns. But this is the thing. Do I get too drunk over one win where it just completely changed my mindset? I think I do. But they do. Kansas can win the Big 12. I'm going to say it. Not a shocker. But if you've been listening to this, I called them dead. Kansas can win the Big 12. I'm eating my words. Will they do it, though? I don't think so, but they definitely can. Iowa State, are all of the rest of their games at home? No. So that's tough. In fact, here is their road games the rest of the year. At West Virginia, at Kansas State, at Texas, at Baylor. Those are all hard games. West Virginia right now is really finding the rhythm. They don't play Kansas the rest of the year, so that's good. But that's a difficult schedule for the rest of it. I do like Iowa State a whole lot, though. I think they have excellent guard play. They're really running four guards, one center, and they have scorers in that starting lineup. Caleb Grill, he will shoot from anywhere, and he's not afraid to do it, but he's a good scorer right now, and he's emerging. Jaron Holmes, he's emerging right now. You have Gabe Kalscher, and you have Tamin Lipsey, who is, I think, just a joy to watch in this league. Not a good shooter at all, shooting 16.7% from three, but a really good distributor, really good on-ball defender. He's just like a good leader for being that freshman, and they do have a big on their team. So I like Iowa State. I think they're out of the four teams that I'm going to say are going to have a chance of winning the Big 12. I think they're the worst out of those. But I do think that Iowa State has shown that they can win. They play great defense. And on the at home, it's looking like just a guaranteed dub. I know it's looking like for most of the league, but I really do think Iowa State, talked about it earlier, has the best home court advantage in the whole Big 12. And the last team, Texas, I've talked about them a lot. I think Texas has the best chance of winning the Big 12 right now. If I had a gun to my head and I just didn't know how to defend myself, I didn't know jujitsu or how to get out of it, or there was not, you know, a friend with a 2x4 behind me, and I really had to give an opinion on who I think would win the Big 12 right now, I do think it is Texas. And I just think they're so good at bullying you. They're so big. They're so physical. If you were having somewhat of an off night, they can punish you for it. I think they're really well coached right now, and they have an elite scorer in this league in Marcus Carr. Marcus Carr is an elite scorer. He's not afraid to shoot, and he puts himself in good places to shoot, and he knows what the best time is to shoot, and also deepest team in the whole league. I trust every single one of their players, except for Arterio Morris. I don't know why the hell he was playing the last couple of minutes of that Kansas game. Like, you pull out Tyrese Hunter to put in Arterio Morris. Like, that was very strange. I did not like that move at all. But no. So I have Texas, Iowa State, Kansas, and Baylor. To me, are the four teams that I think will win the conference and or have the best chance of winning it. But I put the most faith in the Texas Longhorns right now. Let's talk about the bubble watch of this league, and I'm not going to spend too much time about it. Texas Tech, your season's done. Oklahoma, what an outlier that Alabama game was. That's bullshit. The fact that we fell for that, you guys suck now. Oklahoma basketball is bad. I can't believe I cared too much about that Alabama game. This team is not good at all. They're getting destroyed. Against West Virginia, what a terrible performance. You lose by 30 to West Virginia. I understand Eric Stevenson is really good, but you lose to 30 to right now the eighth place team in the conference. What are we doing? Oklahoma's bad. I don't want to talk about them anymore. West Virginia, tournament team, in my opinion. This is a team that the metrics absolutely love, and now they're starting to actually play really well. Eric Stevenson is a bucket in this league, an absolute bucket. They have good depth. They have bigs. They just need to get some damn wins in the conference that aren't named Texas Tech, Oklahoma. They beat TCU, but they just need to rattle off some more damn wins. And the rest of their schedule is terrible. I think they have the hardest end of the season out of anyone. You play Iowa State on Wednesday, then at Texas, at Baylor, home for Texas Tech, home for Oklahoma State, then you're at Kansas, at Iowa State, and home for Kansas State to wrap up the season. That's awful. You play Iowa State twice. West Virginia, I think, is a really good team. If they can just get, in my opinion, three more wins, the metrics love them. And I think that's going to do them. They're in a great – I don't know why the metrics are that in love with them. I understand, like, they're non-conference. They only lost two games. But West Virginia, if they can win three more games, I think that is a tournament team, and I think they'll get in. The last team I want to talk about, Oklahoma State. The hottest team in the Big 12, in my opinion. They are finding something, and it's working. And everyone who doubted Mike Boynton, shame on you. He's a damn good coach. He's a great leader. This team is finding themselves. They are the best defensive team in the entire league. And Caleb Boone, who is this player who's been there for so many years is finally emerging as legitimately one of the best players in the entire conference. He may be the best big in the entire conference. What he can do scoring inside is exceptional. He is a villain. He called Oklahoma a little brother, and he's right because they dominate that team. And right now, Oklahoma State is just winning. They're just winning. They win 5 out of their last 6 games, and they're starting to roll. 5-5 in conference play. This is not where I thought them, and they've been doing it without really any outside scoring threat right now. Caleb Asbury is emerging. John Michael Wright, emerging. But now you lose Avery Anderson, who he said on his social media will be out for the whole year. That's a huge blow. You know what I've said about Avery Anderson. I wish he could be better. I wish he could do more scoring-wise or be more consistent. But he's really good. And he's a player I thought that was going to go pro. And he could have gone pro after the Cade Cunningham year. But he decided to stay there to hone his craft and get a little better. This has not been the best year for him. But he was starting to really emerge as the player we all thought he was. And for him to be out with a wrist injury the rest of the year, that stinks. But Oklahoma State, to me, tournament team. And they can cause so many teams problems late into the tournament. What they can do defensively, the bigs that they have. They are now starting to see better guard play. And you have Caleb Boone, who is just an absolute beast right now. I love Oklahoma State basketball right now. They may be the best story in the entire Big 12 right now. They may be. Just because of what they're doing with, I would say, a talent gap compared to the rest of the league. And just finding themselves in what a lot of people would say is the hardest stretch of the Big 12 year. Because this is where we're getting to that point where teams are they're going to have to get gassed. Like, you play in this league twice a week, and you're traveling probably one of those times, and it's just like cold as hell everywhere. And this is the part of the year where you really start to see some fatigue kick in. And if Oklahoma State can be the team that can bully and get some wins in this time of the year, that's awesome. That's where I have the conference right now. It's really, I don't know what to make of this league half the time, but I am thoroughly entertained all of the time. So that's good. Don't forget to vote this week on the polls to determine who has the best home court advantage in the entire Big 12. And we will be back later this week with my good friend Josh Neighbors. We will be doing our crossover episode, talk about some of our favorite things. I always love talking to Josh. And you should follow him too, Locked On Big 12. But subscribe, rate 5 stars, leave a review. I love, love, love doing this podcast so much. We have been growing at an alarming rate, and it's because of you guys. And if you can just tell one person about this podcast, one, it would mean the absolute world to me. Share it however you share it. Follow us on Twitter at MW_MadnessBig12. And we will be back soon. I love you guys, but I'm out. Peace.
Podcast Network.